Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with...
Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This week, we have a lady who needs no introduction, but I will give her one anyway. She's an award-winning brand consultant, a favourite speaker within the sustainability industry, and a thought leader on all things sustainable and forward-thinking. Our guest today is Rosanna Lawn. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I'm enjoying the sunshine that's coming through my window on a January day. So, yeah, things are good today.
Good, good.
I live in the north, so it's usually always raining, like torrential rain, up, down, sideways. So, well, maybe not up, but yeah, so it's a nice change for me.
We know what that's like. We're from Blackpool, so we know what that's like.
There you go. I'm sure I've got scales on my skin somewhere just to adapt to the wet weather all the time. But yeah. So
we'll jump straight in with the questions then. So if you were to be sat with my nan and you had to explain as succinctly as possible what you do, how would you explain it?
I always find this question actually quite hard. Not this exact question about being sat with a nan, but when people ask me what I do, I never picture myself sat with your nan when I'm answering these questions, unfortunately.
Lovely.
Because I've got quite an entrepreneurial brain and I'm an entrepreneurial type of person, it's very difficult to actually, you know, nail what I do and how I do it. So throughout my career, I've explored a lot of different company types and roles, and I've been a development manager all the way to a brand director and now sustainability expert, as well as, you know, co-founding my not-for-profit organization. And at one point in my life, I was running themed vegan supper clubs because I just really enjoy food. So I wear like a lot of hats in my life, and I just find something that I'm extremely passionate about and I do it. But I'm going to try and succinctly explain what I do now as opposed to all of these other things. And as I mentioned, my professional training is as a chartered surveyor within the built environment. So I went to university, and I also am a member of the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors. I have a history in development, but a huge passion for sustainability. So this is where that combination of the built environment and sustainability has really come about, from a personal passion and looking how I can integrate that into my professional training. Mm. I realize that there's a huge disconnect between government, professional delivery and companies, and then the end consumer, especially when it comes to understanding sustainability and delivering sustainability. So I found myself in quite a unique position where I'm now advising companies, NGOs on how to be more sustainable, but also how to translate that information into an easily absorbable context and, you know, media platform or messaging for their target audience. Throughout this journey, I've also realized, you know, the key contributor that technology plays for sustainability within the built environment, whether that's data-driven analytics on how homes are working, whether that's, you know, the move to air source heat pumps and things like that. You know, technology is a huge part and parcel of what we're going to be doing for sustainability in the built environment. So I've now started integrating and working with technology companies like the likes of Samsung to help them integrate their products better for the built environment as well, so that we can, you know, bring technology and sustainability under that roof, so we can really deliver communities that are not just sustainable in terms of environment, but actually sustainable in the fact that they're fit for the future as well.
Mm. Brilliant. And it sounds like from what you said, you've definitely, when you mentioned the supper club and things like that, you've definitely got those entrepreneurial skills. What would you say, because I think your role from what you've explained, and I think Zach's Nana now would be going, I get it, Rosanna. But from what you've explained, what kind of attributes, or what would you say is the main attribute that you have to, you can't turn up to work without on a daily basis?
For me, it's just my passion, to be honest. I will not do something that I'm not passionate about. And I know that, I don't know whether that makes me sound a bit high maintenance or not, but I just figure that, you know, I'm passionate about a lot of things, something's going to stick. I just feel that, you know, if we're not passionate about what it is that we're doing, and we're not turning up to work with a real hunger to make change. I'm not going to make change. I'm not going to convince an NGO that they're, you know, what I'm doing with the UK BCSD, that their engagement program and their whole brand needs revamping to suit the new market. I'm not going to be able to convince Samsung, you know, about how, you know, partnerships with like likes of Project Utopia and the messaging that they should be delivered. If I don't believe it myself, there's no way I'm going to take these companies on a new journey. And there's no way I'm going to be able to pioneer that new journey with them, because it's actually quite, I want to say, a bit of a scary one for most companies, looking at everything from embodied carbon to business operations sustainably to, you know, how homes and things like that operate once they've been handed over to the consumer and making that more sustainable. This is scary stuff for a lot of companies that have done cookie cutter stuff for many, many years, or had a way that they've approached it. If you're not passionate and you don't believe in what you're doing, there's no way you're going to make these companies change. They're just not going to do it.
No, I totally agree with you on that one, Rose. And I think from kind of the way that you explained it, you can definitely sense the passion in your body and your tone anyway. But I think it's so important to have passion and a love for what you do. And I think this is something that me and Zach come across as well in the world of sales. It's like what you've said there, what I heard as somebody that works in sales is, if you don't believe in your product, how can you sell it? And how can you expect other people to agree with it? So I think, yeah, That's a great skill to have and to turn up to work with. So we mentioned earlier, we're both from Blackpool. So imagine we've invited you up to Blackpool for the weekend, Rosanna. We're going to take you up the tower and you're going to look out, and it's a gorgeous view of Blackpool. You can see the whole of Blackpool from the top. But imagine that view. On that view, it's just all of your achievements throughout your life. What are you going to say is your biggest achievement? So where does it lie?
Well, first of all, I'm going to have to put my big coat on if I'm going up Blackpool Tower, because it's bloody freezing in Blackpool. I used to spend a lot of time there as a kid, so I know the view that you're looking at. I think for me, you know, as trying to be as humble as I can with saying this, I feel like I've accomplished a lot with my career. I've gone in a lot of different directions, as I've mentioned, won awards for not just myself, but for businesses, and even led new teams to, you know, winning awards in some of the businesses that I've worked in as well. And while these are all amazing as achievements, I think the biggest achievement that, and I do a lot of internal growth work and, you know, life coaching and things like that. So my biggest achievement actually is the dedication and resilience that I have to advancing the growth of myself personally, and the industry that I work in, whether that's through diversity and inclusion, through the not-for-profit that I co-founded, whether that's through sustainability and my dedication to the planet, both personally and professionally. My biggest achievement, and it's something that continues to grow and it's something that I continue to feed, is my attitude towards change. And driving that and maintaining the attitude towards change, maintaining that, you know, that passion to work in, especially in environments like the built environment that can be reluctant to change. It can, you know, be like stuck in the mud sometimes, and to continue to have that passion for not just myself and my own growth, but for the growth of the industry that I work in, is my biggest achievement. And I come back to it again. It's probably like, oh, you've already answered this question. You've spoken about passion, but I only achieve these things because I do great things, and I only do great things because I'm dedicated to growing myself and, you know, pushing myself out of that comfort zone and going, you know, if I don't have imposter syndrome, am I doing the right thing, or am I just, you know, slinking back into my comfort zone again? And it's about continuing to break those cycles, not just for me, but like, you know, for next generations as well, and just wanting to do that. So yeah, that's my biggest achievement. It's my dedication to growth, I suppose.
Where do you think that dedication comes from? Is that something that was always there? Were you like that as a child, or is it something that you sort of flicked the switch on as you got older?
I've always been a bit stubborn and pig-headed, and I've always been extremely determined. I think probably to my detriment when I was younger, but I've learned to harness it a lot better, rather than being pig-headed in my personal life. I'm more stubborn and pig-headed in my business career, and I've learned to harness it in the right ways. But I think that, you know, I'm a big believer, and we all go through things, and we all have certain things that happen in our lives that create certain environments. And I think mine was bred through from probably more of a traumatic childhood to wanting to prove myself, because that is how it can manifest. It turned into that, to then taking a step back and going, well, actually, I'm doing extremely well, but does this make me happy? And then learning how to, you know, finesse those sharp edges and actually look at what the true value of growth is, of being determined, and rather than being like, I need to be top of my game all the time and it doesn't matter, you know, if I work 15, 16 hour days, I'm going, how can I be better to myself? I don't want to work 15, 16 hour days. How do I work smarter rather than harder, so I get the personal growth and I can dedicate that to me, but also get the professional growth as well. So it's been a journey of, like, you know, being extremely headstrong, quite destructive in some environments, to then harnessing that and changing that into something that I control. It doesn't control me anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably me and Jack can relate to that a lot. And it sounds like, from what you're saying, there's a sense of, if there's no progression, there's almost no purpose. So you always feel like you need to be learning and achieving new things. So really, yeah, you've maybe found that what a lot of people find later on in life, that the journey, I know it sounds cheesy, but the journey is the bit to enjoy rather than the destination. So that's really nice to hear. So next question for you then. Before it's all said and done and you're off sipping margaritas on your sustainable yacht somewhere, what would you say there's left to do? And I know that's quite an open, loaded question, but if you were to imagine the same career again, what would you hope to have done this time at the end?
Firstly, margaritas are my favourite. So yeah, I'm glad that I'll be sailing off to the sunset with one of those. As long as it's a spicy one, margarita picante, then I will drink them all day long. So great choice of drink. I think, you know, secondly, there's a lot for me that I still want to achieve. There's huge, like, I've barely scratched the surface of what is possible and what is on offer for me, my life and my career. I don't look at it and go, you know, if I just get to this point and then I'm just going to stay here for 10 years in this senior role and do that. For me, that doesn't stimulate me. That doesn't offer fulfillment for me. I love education. I love learning. This year I did an online course at Yale School of Management on global leadership for business and politics, and I'm currently doing, or just about completing, a course on counseling, which sounds crazy, but it's actually really good, because things like life coaching and stuff I can apply to leading teams and helping people make decisions and things like that. So I'm learning a lot of all these different things that I just like, and for me, I think there's just so many things that I want to do. I've got an actual book dedicated to business ideas, so whenever I come up with one, I'm like, oh, that's a great business idea. I write it down because I don't have the time to do it now, but maybe one day I will. And this book really ranges from, like, app-based skill sharing platforms all the way to, like, vegan wine bars and just things that I've just gone, the world really needs this. And I've written it down, and I probably won't get through all of them, but it's a great outlet for me, because if they stick in my brain, then I won't stop thinking about them. But I guess my biggest passion and the thing that I'm focused on the most, which I think brings in the, you know, the counseling, mental therapy and all this kind of stuff, is that one of the biggest things that I want to achieve personally is looking at helping build communities in, like, vulnerable and disaster stricken environments. And I mean, like, building the physical infrastructure in a sustainable way, looking at sustainability, sustainable planning, sustainable materials, but also looking at building the community through therapies and mental well-being and things like that, which is actually why I embarked on this course, because I thought, well, I want to do that, but I don't know enough about it. So I will be a member of the Complementary Medical Association soon. But it just means that I'm exploring all these different avenues of the things that I'm passionate about. I want to bring them together, I want to nurture them, but ultimately I want to be able to offer my skill sets to other people to create a more sustainable world. But sustainability for me does come in many facets. It does for many people, but for me, you know, looking at how mental health has declined, looking at, you know, people in disaster stricken areas, they don't have access to, you know, like therapies like we do, but they could have like lost their homes and their families, and they've got some of the worst living conditions, or they've got, you know, these situations that none of us can even bear thinking about going through, and they go through them daily, and they don't have that support network to be able to make them mentally strong, and, you know, for their wellness as well. So my biggest passion, and something that I hope that I achieve before I get on my sustainable yacht, is to create, you know, at least a framework, or start building these communities in a really holistic way.
I think the word of the day, Rosanna, is passion, because it sounds like there's so much that you want to do, and you could have 100 lives and you'd probably be able to fill them up. And I love doing these. Sometimes we do these in the evening, these kind of podcasts, and sometimes we do them in the day. I love doing them just before lunch, because, like, listening to you now, it gets me riled up. And I know that when I kind of get off the call from you, I'll be calling Zach and be like, right, we can do this, and this. And it's great, because that's what you want. You want that passion, because it all boils down to, we only get one life. Sadly, we only get one life. So you have to fill it up with the things that are important to yourself. And it sounds like you've got your head screwed on, in the sense of, this is important for me, but it's actually giving, because it's about being grateful and doing what you can, because there's no point being selfish and going through life and just hogging the log, hogging the yacht and the margaritas to yourself, when, you know what I mean, what's the point? It's all about kind of giving to others. So I think that's a brilliant answer, and I'm sure going forward, Rosanna, you're going to smash all the things like you have done so far.
I hope so.
Absolutely. So we're going to switch the yacht out, right? We're going to take away the margaritas, because you can't drink and drive. We're going to put you in the DeLorean, Back to the Future, and you're going to go back to the first day of your professional career. What is the advice you are going to give to yourself?
So I think, you know, there's a lot of advice that I'd give myself it's actually stuff that I've done. So when I get asked this question, I usually think about the advice I'd give other people, which is stuff that I've done that I know has hugely benefited my career. But I'm going to have to flip that around, and rather than giving like a bog standard professional, like, oh, you know, if you make people, you know, aware of your goals, they can help you and all this kind of stuff, which is usually my response to something like this. I think the biggest thing, and this is something that I'm learning in the whole podcast, will have highlighted this, it's that I don't have to be a single thing. When I came out of university, I had done 3 years doing a real estate undergrad. I'd gone straight into a graduate program at Cushman & Wakefield, and my trajectory was, you know, senior surveyor, associate director in a surveying role. I don't have to be a single thing. I've learned this. Like, there isn't a single path for me. I am not built that way. So my advice would be, like, you know, you don't have to be a single thing. You don't have to dedicate yourself to just one thing, because you are not built that way. So don't feel bad that you can't do it either. You'll find like more beauty, more excitement, more fulfillment, diversifying my path and allowing me to explore whatever lights me up, or whatever I enjoy, or whatever I'm passionate. Because even if they don't make sense right now, like me doing this counseling course, I just wanted to learn about it and I had an idea, but it didn't hugely make sense to my career path. Even if it doesn't make sense right now, the skill sets that you're going to learn, or, you know, how the pieces will fall together, just trust the process and just do what you enjoy. So that's my advice. Don't stick to a single thing. Go and explore everything, and, you know, find ways that you can bring those different skill sets together. It might not have ever been done before, but you might be able to do it. So just go and enjoy yourself.
Was there a moment where that resonated for you, where that was like, I need to make a change? Did something happen in your early professional career?
I started to realise what my career choice was based on. So I actually went to, I did all my A-levels in sciences, things like that. I was going to be a vet, right? I loved animals. I was going to be a vet. I didn't quite get the A-levels that I needed. I had quite an unstable upbringing, and, you know, they always say safe as houses and property is stable, and, you know, property will always be stable. So I think I ended up choosing a career that offered me something that I felt like I needed in my adult life, which was stability, right? Mm-hmm. Something that I was searching for. As I created stability in my life, I realized you don't get stability from a career choice, or you don't get stability from, you know, from external factors in that sense. Stability comes from within, and, you know, being truly, you know, comfortable with who you are and where you're going and you're, you know, and knowing who you are. And so once that need for trying to grasp these things that I thought I needed in my life and that external factors would give me, it allowed me to start opening doors of actually, if I wasn't seeking just stability in my job, where would I go? And I've done everything from like Reiki, which is energy healing, to like just everything. I'm just like, this interests me, go and do a course on it, or go and learn about it. This interests me, go and learn about it. I'm always learning, always doing courses. And it's because my mindset changed around where specific things that we innately need as people, which is things like stability and security and love and things like that, you can't find really in an external environment like your career or your job. You have to find them internally. And that's when it started to change for me, I think.
Wow. Well, that is very motivating, I'll be honest. I'm probably going to be as Jack said before, I think I'm going to be feeling like I can run for a wall this afternoon. So I can see why you're...
Don't do that.
I can see why you're such a sought-after speaker. It's been really enlightening. It's a shame we can't speak longer, but the format of the podcast dictates. If people do want to find you and ask you any questions or follow up, what's the best way to find you?
Just get me on LinkedIn, Rosanna Lawn. You'll see me there. It's a picture of me smiling like this as my profile picture, so don't worry, you'll see it. But yeah, just pop me a LinkedIn message, and I'm always active on there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Brilliant. Thank you so much,
Rosanna. Lovely to meet you. Thank you.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com, and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.